up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Atlanta Life Media, here to share the love through liquor life experience. Atlanta Life Media.
Who job bless? Let no man curse. Sing low.
Well, let's count this liquor conversation.
You are tuned into the Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR. Bringing you the best in talk radio with shows that cover topics to feed your mind, body, and soul. And now we present the Up to Me radio show with your host, Gabby G, and today's special guest, Mark Prescott. So let's get this conversation started. Grab your cup of coffee or favorite morning beverage and join me in a virtual applause as we welcome Gabby G on air.
Well, thank you, Mel D. I believe the Lord is saying that this is the year of breakthrough, and I hope that all of you listening and are believing for yours today. Thank you for tuning in and joining me for the first half of Up to Me Radio's special healthcare segment from San Diego, California. I'm your host, Gabby G, and if this is the first time you were listening to the program, my mother used to call me Gabby Gale as a little girl because I was born with the gift of gab, a trait that both my husband and son can each attest to. But I say that's okay because I believe that one's greatest weakness is also one's greatest gift. So if you like to talk a lot like me or you're just a great listener, please join me in my virtual Gabby G Cafe and be inspired along with me, because this morning we have one very practical guest who will teach us how to maintain a healthy lifestyle in our busy world. Each week, I will welcome our guests and invite you to join me in conversations on various topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life purpose. I'm blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. We will have a very special segment in our show for you to share your up-to-me moments when you faced your reality, found your courage, and made a decision for action to make a change in your life. Here at Up to Me, we love to encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. So this program is truly meant to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment. I cannot express that enough. Please don't feel shy about participating in our program. We really do want to hear from you. I also want to express a special thank you to Mel D, Allie Ward, and the entire Atlanta Life Media team, and to Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band for creating our theme song, Wake Up. You can hear the song in its entirety at the close of our show, and if you like it, please let me know by sending me a message on our new Facebook page. Send it to Gabby at Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, and in a future show, we will provide you with the details of how you can purchase the song. If you want to join me in today's discussion, please call in now to get the on-air cue at 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. That number again is 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Then hold on and enjoy the show, and we will bring you on air shortly. Well, let's face it, life is busy. Sometimes it can be hard to prioritize the things in our lives that we know are the best for us, like taking time with our friends and our loved ones and getting enough sleep and taking care of and maintaining our health. I know that I'm guilty of allowing my own busyness to get in the way just by sheer survival of everyday life, work, laundry, dinner, packing lunches, grocery shopping, running all the necessary errands. So this is precisely why I'm excited to introduce to you Atlanta Life Radio's newest and latest and greatest radio show host for our Wednesday night program entitled Let's Talk Going Gym Free, A Practical Approach to Health and Wellness. His career spans 2 decades as an Emmy Award-winning television reporter and producer who has worked for ABC, CBS, and NBC affiliates nationwide, known throughout the industry for his 2 syndicated healthcare programs, Nurse TV and Healthcare Heroes. He holds a bachelor's degree in communication and is a certified personal trainer with the American Council on Exercise, or ACE, with a special certification in weight management. In addition to owning and operating his company, the Prescott Consulting Group, he is a patient advocate, life coach, and wellness consultant. He likes to say that he is obsessed with common sense and moderation, and along with his co-host, certified personal trainer Beth Sims, he is taking his radio show to a more practical and healthy new level for our listeners. We are very fortunate to have with us here today and one of our newest ALR team member, Mr. Mark Prescott. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Boy, that's some introduction. Even I kind of impressed with myself after hearing you read.
Well, I'm just reading your credentials.
Hey, can I just say, I'm going to give you so much energy for 7 in the morning on the West Coast as I can on a Saturday. So I thanks for having me, and this is a lot of fun. It's great. It's great to be here. I've listened to your show. Can I also say this? I love that reggae band that does your intro and closing music. They are fantastic. That's a nice score that produced the music for you. I like it. Very cool.
Thank you so much. That's Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band, and they're right out of California in your area, northern part of California. Yep. And I am very proud to say that my brother-in-law is the drummer in that band.
Is that right?
Wayne Green. Uh-huh. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, I appreciate you getting up.
Sure.
So early in the morning to be here with us. And
no,
you know what?
It's my pleasure.
You are an award-winning television reporter and producer, and I just want to know, I'm very curious, how did you evolve into becoming an award-winning producer and television reporter into becoming the healthcare advocate that you are today?
Yeah, well, it's kind of an interesting story. I grew up in a healthcare background. My dad was a microbiologist, and I think that when I was in high school and even going into college, family and friends maybe thought I would have been a doctor, but at the time I had no interest in doing that. My interest was in being a sports reporter mostly. So I went to college and did communications and thought, okay, I'm going to go into television, because that was something that really interested me, and it did for a long time, even growing up. So I played sports, and I thought it would be fun to do. I didn't know much about the communication field, but it seemed like, kind of like you, I kind of had a gift to just talk. So I said, maybe I'll go into TV. And after I finished college, I got a job at the lowest level of production at a California television station, and eventually worked my way up to a fill-in sports reporter. And I mean, they put me on. I mean, I was so bad and so green that they were only willing to put me on. My debut in television was Christmas Eve, which is, if you know anything about television, Christmas Eve is the absolute gutter ball of making your television debut. There is nobody's
watching
television. Nobody watches on Christmas Eve. More people would watch on Christmas Day. So they put me on to do, I want to say it was a 4-minute sports cast on Christmas Eve. And, I think I looked back at the tape, because they were using tapes back then. I mean, this was still in the mid-90s. And I was terrible. I was just awful. And thankfully, nobody watched on Christmas Eve, not even management. And so they kept me on, and I did Christmas Day, and I filled in. And I did enough to make, what they call a resume tape. And I got another job. I was there for about 2 years, and I ended up getting another job as a reporter in Arizona. Again, I went to a place where nobody watched. So I flourished where nobody was watching, and I stayed there a year. And then I took over a bureau in the Shreveport, Louisiana market for ABC, and I ran a bureau out of Texarkana. For almost 4 years, And it was a wonderful opportunity to learn management and to be on the air. And I anchored newscasts and, you know, chased tornadoes and interviewed big politicians and covered big sporting events. So it was, and did some work for CNN. And it was really kind of an interesting opportunity for me. But kind of how I got into health, I mean, I could go on a long time about my bad television career. And I'd also like to say, thankfully at that time, there was no YouTube. So there are no, anybody out there that's trying to find bloopers of me, thank
can't
God.
Can't find them.
They can't, I don't think they can find them.
Oh my goodness.
So I actually moved back to, I left in 2002. My dad got sick in about 02, and he was in San Diego, and I was kind of at the end of my line with my job in the South. And I, at the time, had a dog out there, and her name was Maggie. And I said, you know, I'm just going to put Maggie in the car. Actually, I think I put her on a plane. I flew her out. I got in a car. I left my job and said, you know, I'm just going to go back to California and see what happens. And, I drove back out, and I ended up getting a job. Now, I came back. It was good to be around family because I was away from family for a lot of years. And came back out and ended up getting a job at the CBS affiliate here and worked here for 5 years, just back doing the beat reporting thing. But how I got into healthcare, this is kind of a long answer to your question, but how I got into healthcare is, you know, I grew up around it, but at the time there was a guy out in San Diego that was creating something called Nurse TV, and Nurse TV was going to be this thing that was kind of an internet portal. So nurses could go online and learn about jobs, but it was also something that was also going to be this site that would debunk the theory that nurses are just handmaidens to doctors, and this was going to be a site that really promoted the industry, which was, so what he needed, and he didn't know how to do it, so he needed someone that could produce content. So he brought me in and a really bright partner of mine named Matthew, and we just started building content for it in healthcare. So I started spending time in hospitals following nurses, and on airplanes and helicopters, and nurses that worked with the homeless, and nurses that worked in jails. So it was all things nursing.
Wow.
And after a year of doing that, we had some TV people see the site, and they said, oh, this would make a great TV show. So we turned it into a national TV show called Nurse TV. We did that for about a year. And during that time, I was really just kind of immersed in the whole healthcare field. And after a year doing that, I said, you know, we should involve more doctors and patients and, you know, other key players in the industry. And so we did. So we started Healthcare Heroes and did that show for a couple of years. And at that point, we were, you know, also putting together stories outside of the TV show that dealt with, you know, patient engagement, patient education, anything that would try to help patients kind of ease their transition into wellness or telling their stories. So we were storytellers, and you know, that led me to kind of what I'm doing now, in that I said I really liked helping patients and people, but I wasn't certified to do anything like that outside of just kind of being on the front lines of it. So I ended up going back and getting, you know, certified to be a personal trainer and coaching and risk stratification and things like that, kind of boring things, but they're good credentials. And so now that's kind of what I do. I transition into, you know, doing things like hosting this show, but I also enjoy working one-on-one with the elderly and anybody that needs help, especially with lifestyle management. That's kind of what I do now. And my, you know, I know we're going to talk about her later, but the co-host of the show that I do here, Beth, she inspired me as well because she's big into wellness. She's a wellness coordinator, and we met up a couple of years ago, and she was kind of the motivating factor that said, hey, you know, with your background, you should get into something like this. So here I am now, after that 10 or 12 minute spiel I just gave you. I think my journey and my mission is just to try to help people. So I try to do that any way I can. Does that answer the question? Was that good, or do you want me to keep going?
It was awesome, because you know what? You touched on so many things that I want to talk about.
Right.
And one is, I love, and a lot of people, and this is part of what we do here at Atlanta Life Radio too, is you were able to, and just in your own gifts and your own talent and your own your own ability, I guess I should say, for lack of better words, to be able to allow yourself to evolve. And so you weren't stuck in, like you said, that when you were in the South and you were a reporter, you came to the end of that. And you felt like you came to the end of that. And so you made a move or decision. And my introduction, I talk about at Up to Me Radio, we have our aha moment or up to me moment. So I kind of feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that maybe that was part of your up to me moment, where you make a decision to make a positive change in your life, like you recognize that you were at the end of what you felt like you could do. You kind of maxed out that position.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you feel like that was kind of like your up to me moment, like that evolving change?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, anything I've done, and I kind of had that feeling when I left doing news reporting. I had these times where I said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to stay doing this. You know, what's kind of next for me? And I think that the aha moment, you know, there's it wasn't necessarily one thing, but I started realizing the more I interviewed people when I was doing these television shows, and the more I was getting to know people and their stories, I thought, you know, maybe there are more ways I can help than just, you know, putting a camera in front of them and talking to them and you know, producing a video. So for me, it was, I think that there are ways that I could work one-on-one or in front of groups of people, kind of telling them my story. So it wasn't the one thing. It was just, it was a lot of things coming together that pushed me down that road. I mean, even our producer, Mel D, we've known each other. We've worked on things. I've known her, you know, 5-6 years. And even she was a part of kind of moving this kind of thing in the right direction, because her thing is helping people too. And when we met 5 years,
that's why
yeah,
I'm here.
right, and you me know? Too. And even 5 years ago, we worked on a couple of videos together. But her and I, you know, we're always talking about what can we do to kind of help the masses. So there were different people along the way that kind of shaped this. But now, you know, I just enjoy, you know, trying to get people going in the right direction. And that's kind of been, you know, it's been fun. It's challenging, but, yeah, I
it's
like it.
It's very rewarding.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Well, some people have a hard time with, they feel like, and that's why we do this show, because and Alicia too with her, there's life after layoff experience,
uh-huh.
that period of transition in their life where they feel like, I can't do anything else. This is all I've known my whole life. And so this is one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, because you were able to reinvent yourself with the gifts that you had. And I just love how it seems like you've come full circle. Not that you can't continue to evolve, because we do that until we're not on the earth anymore. It's like we always continue to evolve and reinvent ourselves, no matter how old we are. And but I just love how you kind of came full circle with you come from a sports background and a healthcare background, and you took every talent that God gave you. You can talk, you know, you have your videoing, and you've had the experience now with reporting and your one-on-one and your sport, your love of sports and your healthcare, and you are helping other people. And so this is what I wanted to talk about, too, because your video programs are excellent. They're excellent. And you develop video programs to reduce hospital readmissions and improve patient compliance. How does this work to motivate patients towards their recovery and maintain their overall better health care? Tell us about the TSA effect, because I love
that. Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, when we were doing TV shows, and when I was more, you know, I still put videos together when people need them. Sorry, I was just putting some coffee creamer in my coffee, if you kind of heard that going into the coffee.
Fine. You're good.
I need to wake up here. What I found, this kind of started, with the helping people with the videos, is I found that one of the biggest problems in healthcare and hospitals is hospital preventable 30-day readmissions. So our goal when we would make some of these videos is how do patients watch something that can help them, that can help hospitals cut down on readmits, because readmits are just a bad thing, and it the hospitals lose money, and now, you know, reimbursements are either down or gone, and so it's a financial thing. I mean, it's just bad sauce any way you slice it. So I started getting more involved on when I would produce content. That always was in the back of my mind when I was producing it. Like, if someone's going to watch this, how can it help them? And so, you know, we've done videos. You know, we did something for a hip replacement. So here's how it works. You know, if you were to go in and have a hip replacement, you go in, you have the surgery, you're in the hospital probably 2 days to recover, and then you're given a stack of paperwork that a lot of people don't understand, and you're sent on your way. Now, I say this with no offense to any hospital people or doctors or nurses that are listening. That's just kind of the protocol. So that's kind of the way the system works. And people go home, and for a lot of people, they don't understand the literature, or they don't want to read, or, I mean, there's just a number of reasons why they don't comply. And so what happens is that they don't comply, and they roll over on their hip, or they cross the midline or whatever it is, and something happens, or there's an infection and whatnot, and they end up back in the hospital, and there's the financial aspect and all of those things. So we tried to do things that simplified that with our videos, and you can see some of the videos. Here's my plug, healthcareheroes.tv. That's a YouTube site, and there's a whole host of videos there that kind of show. You know, we have all kinds of different things on there. But
you have Cairo TV too.
Yeah, we did something for chiropractors as well, and that was always in the back of my mind when I produced these. So it was how I always wanted to, when I did things for hospitals. It was how do we educate and engage patients, because that was kind of the key to the videos, is that there are, when people were producing videos in healthcare in the 80s, 90s, 70s, we've all seen them, and they're all, with no disrespect to the companies that did them, they're all pretty boring. They're just kind of dull, and it's very educational, and it's not fun. Yeah, it's just not fun. So we tried to take our style that we used when we were creating a TV show, and tried to make it, in edutainment I guess is the right word.
Edutainment. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So we try to do that, and that's what we did, and that's what I still try to do when someone calls me and says, "Hey, I need, you know, can you do a video for me?"
How do you entertain them?
Yeah, I mean, people need to be, you know, the thing about video and content is that even if it's for a specific thing, I mean, people need to be engaged now because there's so much competition out there. They can they can look at different things on YouTube, and there's so much pulling their attention in so many different directions that if you can't grab them with a good, quick, you know, educational edutainment type video, it's tough. So and you have to remember who your audience is with something like that, because someone that has a hip replacement is 80 years old, so it has to, right. Or it could be, they could be someone, right, that they don't even know how to use the internet,
right.
So we had to do it for their caregiver. Maybe their son is 50 years old, and they know how to play with that darn internet thing that I think is going to stick around for a while now. So they had to, we had to do it
idea.
For them. Yeah, wow. We had to do it for them. So yeah, that's always been our goal with that. And it's always on the back burner, and I'm always interested in helping hospitals and medical groups and any kind of group that wants to go in that direction. And, yeah, that part was a lot of fun. You know, when Matthew and I produced these TV shows, it wasn't, hey, let's just produce a 30-minute show and then what's next? Because we needed to see that what we were doing was making a difference. Because anybody can produce a 30-minute television show. It's how do you build off of that? What's the next step? So that was our next step with video. Yeah.
That's the next thing I was thinking to ask you was, have you heard of any personal testimonies since you've been using your Healthcare Heroes toolkits from, like,
yeah,
doctors,
I mean,
or any other patients that said, wow, that was really helpful to me?
Yeah, it's funny. We don't I don't update the site regularly, but I still get emails, and people will have looked at videos that are, you know, 5 years old even, that say, wow, this is great. I really needed this. I had no idea what having a baby was going to be like. And
that's awesome. And, you do it for that, for childbirth too?
You know, by the way, I never thought I would have seen so many babies delivered. When we found that we were doing this TV show, and we would go to hospitals, we could always fill a gap in our show with a baby being born, because it was always not only just educational, it was always great television.
It's fascinating.
And it's and we shot it tastefully. We always shot it from the side, so it was and it was amazing to me, because when you do these things in healthcare, the patient has to sign a consent form. And
right.
when I first started this. A lot of people on television, they'd say, "Oh, patients, they don't want, they're not going to consent to doing that." And we used to have, and we were never forceful with people. Any procedure that we did, it was always very respectful. It was, "Hey, if you want to do this, we'll send you a copy." And it was probably 9 out of 10 people would just say, "Yeah." And you would get women that were in labor, that they would be there with their husband, and you'd ask them, "Hey, do you want to?" They'd be in bed, and we'd go in, and the hospital person would take us in, and they'd say, "I don't know if they're going to want to do this." And they'd say, "Oh yeah, sure. You're going to send us a copy? Yeah, that'd be great. You know, we'd love to see it." And it made for great TV. And I used to have a running thing that I'd have a bet with people that I always knew the dad would cry. The dad always cried.
My husband cried his eyes out when my son was born. He did.
Isn't that amazing? Because
so emotional.
The woman's exhausted,
right?
And then the guy can be the most, like, manly, you know, kind of guy. And you look at him and you're like, "Oh, this guy, I bet he won't cry." And then I would say, "No, he's going to cry." And then it, so.
You know what, though?
It's funny. It's real. It's really funny.
That was my husband. And
yeah.
It's just such
yeah.
a beautiful, it's a, you're witnessing a miracle, and it's just the most beautiful thing. And then it's yours.
Yeah.
It's very,
yeah.
it's just reduces you to tears. It's just, it's beautiful. Well, can
no,
we hold that
moment.
Thought?
Sure.
Because it is time for station break, and we'll be right back.
D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we're thankful for all of our faithful listeners tuning in with us this Saturday morning. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Please share us with a friend and come back. A very special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you're interested in becoming a financial sponsor or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send us an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program. Gabby?
And we're back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Me Radio. I'm your host, Gabby G, and we're talking with Let's Talk, Going Gym Free radio show host and healthcare consultant with the Prescott Consulting Group, Mr. Mark Prescott. If you would like to call in and be a part of our conversation, you can do so by calling 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Right now, we're going to continue our discussion with CEO of Prescott Consulting Group, Mark Prescott. Mark, you know what? I want to talk about your show with us, and congratulations
sure.
on that, by the way.
Oh,
and
thanks.
I want to talk about your show with Beth Sims. It's called
yeah.
Let's Talk Going Gym Free. And we're going
yeah.
to have her on a show separately. She's going to be our part two healthcare series. But I
she's
going to
be
introduce...
so much better. She's going to be so much better than me too.
Oh, I think you both bring so much to the table, and that's why I want to do separate shows for you. So tell us about Beth.
Well, Beth and I met a few years ago. She was doing wellness for a telemedicine company, and I was going to do a video platform for this company, and we never could really get it going with a video. But after she got to know me a little bit, she said, you know, I think you would be, with your background, you would be really good with patients and clients. And so she really got me thinking, and I was able to you know, hear her do some work with patients and clients, and I thought this – she's really good at this. I mean, you can tell that this is her passion and her life's work. And I thought, you know, I would kind of like to do something like that too. And so I ended up, she inspired me to go back and get the credentials I needed to go work with people. And she's ideal for, and she's been a, you know, someone with, I don't think a lot of media experience, has been an absolutely fantastic co-host to doing this. I mean, just a duck to water with it. And, but she's the one that got me into, hey, you know, you should be someone that works with clients one-on-one and doing, you know, these corporate lunch and learns. And so she's out in Texas. I'm in California, and we've stayed in touch as we've kind of built this thing. And you know, when I had talked to Mel D about, you know, it's funny, Mel D and I had talked to our producer. We've always run so many ideas past each other, but when we finally said, hey, you know, we should do a TV show, not TV show, radio show, it was. Beth was someone that I immediately thought of as someone I thought would be an ideal, perfect co-host with her background, because she's dealt with everybody. And, you know, I'm just kind of that host schlub that tells
me. Oh, stop. You're not a schlub.
She's
Emmy award winning.
She knows so much that it was a good thing. And the show, it's funny. The basis of the show. So I was, and Beth was too, you know, I was an athlete. I grew up, I played baseball, I played tennis. And then, later on I got into martial arts, and I've always been active. But as I got older and I think this is where I think that I relate to a lot of the people that I try to help, is that as I got a little older, I didn't really like training at a gym. And it wasn't something that I'm not opposed to at all. People are like, hey, I go to the gym an hour. I think it's great. I mean, I really do. But I was a guy that said, I want to maintain myself through things like walking and drinking more water and getting enough sleep and things like that, where not eating too much before going to bed, not drinking, you know, alcohol in excess, not eating sugar in excess. And because I found that the more people that I spoke to, I thought that these were kind of things that seem simple, because I really think they seem simple, but people struggle with.
Uh-huh.
And I think that for me, it was one of these things, because we have this, you know, pre-diabetes/diabetes epidemic, where the number is, I don't know, 90 million or 100 million people in the country are either pre-diabetic or type 2 diabetic. I mean, you have an epidemic and with things like obesity. But I didn't want to be the guy that with his, you know, personal training certification that went to people and said, I know more than you. And because I'm not that guy, but I am the guy that says, you know, what's your lifestyle like? And when I can kind of delve deep into what someone's going through, I think that if there are ways to do, and there's no magic here. There's no, you still have to work at it. There's no magic bullet, but it's amazing what people can do when they walk more and they try to do things for stress relief, and they stop drinking soda and they drink more water, and they do these little things. And even if it's, you know, that's what, when you were reading my bio at the beginning, when I say that I'm kind of obsessed with common sense and moderation, it's kind of true. And I've always been that way. So, it's great that I'm like that. And I think it's great the way Beth is, because, Beth is like that, but Beth can also tackle, people that do like to go to the gym. I mean, we know the show is called Going Gym Free, but you know, that's a good name, but there are people that still kind of adopt, the common sense lifestyle that I have, but they still like to go to the gym and they have questions. And, it's great because Beth has trained so many people that she can answer all of those questions as well. So it's a nice team approach. But on my end, I've just felt that if I can help people from this kind of simple standpoint, I can help a lot of people. And, you know, when I've done some of these lunch and learns for, you know, 100, 200 people, you would think that a lot of the things that I talk about, people would know, but they're really, some people just, they don't, or they're not following it, or they have so much stress in their lives that they can't find the time to do certain things. And that's the nice thing about what I try to talk about, is that you can find the time, even if you're starting from square one, even if you're taking a 10-15 minute walk with a dog, I'm too tired, I sit on the couch, I'm exhausted. So if they're getting up once an hour and just walking in place for 30 seconds to a minute, just to move enough, those are the kinds of things that I like to talk to when I deal with clients. And I think that the more we can share with our listeners about that, again, it's about helping people, and that's my passion. That's certainly Beth's passion, is helping people, and she's had incredible results. And at the end of the day, that's what it is. So anybody that listens to us knows that even if I wanted to reach out to the person that said, I couldn't even imagine going to a gym. I'm so far off the path now that I can't even imagine like putting gym clothes on and going to the gym. And to which I would say, oh, okay, that's fine. Let me talk to you.
That's awesome, because it really does have to be a practical approach. It's got to be a lifestyle thing.
No, you're right. It's a choice. It's a lifestyle, and it's making the decision to move forward. But when you think about, if you think about someone that is excessively overweight, you think about the whole thought process and then contemplating getting in their car and packing a gym bag and going to a gym and maybe having people stare at them and not knowing where to start their workout and so on and so forth. I have a client out here that's, you know, over 300 pounds and is one of the greatest guys you'd ever meet. And he was, and I've tried to do a little kind of quick fix with him because he was telling me that, you know, late at night I have, you know, if I'm watching a ball game, I'm eating a full bag of cookies. And so I'm trying to kind of, you know, retrain him to not do that. And it sounds simple, but it's a hard thing for people to stop doing. But he's already seeing the results. I'm telling him, look, just, and he was another guy that was a former athlete and just kind of, you know, let himself go a little bit with family and life and all those things that happen. He's starting to see the results of, hey, you know, when you come down here and have a cup of coffee with me, you know, park at the very end of the parking lot, just so you're walking. Don't park in the front. Park far away. If I see you walking far away, that's good. Take your time. You can be late. It's fine. You're okay. So it's those little things, I think, that make a difference. But you know, I talked about a lot with Mel D about, you know, the diabetes thing, and it's just crazy. And that was kind of the basis of when we were doing videos. It still was to just help people and to give them this kind of practical, common sense approach that some people just don't have. And it's not because we're talking down to them, because I would never want to feel like I know more than somebody. I've never been that guy.
I just haven't. Being helpful.
Yeah, exactly. It's a helpful thing, and people, you know, if I can see someone, if I'm talking to someone, a light bulb goes on, that's good.
Yeah, that's you know, you mentioned a couple of different things that I personally struggle with, and that I like that, and it just goes back to what you were telling this this client of yours, you know, take longer walks at the grocery store. Just anytime you're just moving or doing something different, there's an old saying, nothing changes if nothing changes. So if you're just tweaking one little thing differently, you can make it turns into a big change over time. And one of the things that I struggle with is getting enough sleep, because I operate on about 4 to 6 hours a night and drinking a lot of water. And mm-hmm. I drink a lot of coffee.
Sure.
I drink water, and I drink skim milk and things like that. But I don't drink, and I do feel like I am a little dehydrated. As you age, too, you need to really fill yourself with a lot more water. So what's the water and the sleep recommendations?
Well, I mean, for me, you know, I've always been a 7 to 8 hour guy. And this was, again, kept coming from this. I learned this from my practical experience I think Beth and I were just talking about this on our show. When I was a morning TV reporter here for about 6 months in San Diego, I was getting up at 3:15 in the morning.
Right.
And I could never go to bed at 7 at night, because especially if it was light out or whatever.
Right.
So I would go to bed at 10 and sleep till 3, and it would be 5 hours. And so by the end of the week, it was a cumulative effect. I was exhausted. I realized that I was driving into work. I couldn't even remember going into work because my brain was just shutting down from a lack of sleep. And I think what happens with the lack of sleep is that it slows down metabolism. We tend not to want to exercise because we're tired. And I noticed by doing that that I started to slowly gain a little bit of weight. And when I got off of that shift, everything kind of came back to normal. I still would say, if you can get the 7 to 8, I think you're good. I know that some people can't get that because they just either they have trouble sleeping, or they just have other commitments where they can't do it. But as far as the water goes, water is a great thing because it's really an appetite suppressant. If you drink a lot of water, you're not as hungry. So if you're to drink a big glass of water before you're going to go out to dinner, when you go out to restaurants, always the knock is the portion sizes. So if you go out to eat and have a big glass of water or two, you're going to probably eat less, which is going to be better for your weight control. And, as far as how much you should drink, if you're a coffee, and I like coffee too, so I'm a coffee guy too, but I usually do, I kind of follow the one glass of water for every other drink I have. So if I have a cup of coffee, I have a glass of water.
Okay, that helped me. I'll do that.
And if I have something else, I have a glass of, if you're going out to dinner and you have a glass of wine, have a glass of water. And just kind of notice that, throughout the day, if you're sitting at your job at your desk, and have a bottle of water there, and I don't want to say force yourself to drink, but just try to drink more and see how that plays out. It's good all around. You feel better when you drink more water anyway. It's good for your skin. It's good for everything.
What about those supplements or colored drinks or the flavored drinks, like the drops that you can put in the water? Are they okay to do?
I think so. I'm not real expert on that. I think people that are fine with it, and because there's some people that just can't stand the taste of just plain water.
Right.
I tend to put fruit in my water. I like to taste the cold water anyway, but I'll put like blueberries in there and
really?
Yeah, things like that. So
I mean, lemon and oranges I've done, but blueberries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'll just do different things like that to spice it up a little bit.
Well, one of the other things I wanted to touch on that we talked a little bit about.
Beth sent me a text because she's listening. She said, "Put cucumber in water."
Oh, that's great. She's something else.
And I don't think Beth is like the flavored water. She's probably against that. But I don't know if you can tell people not to drink the flavored water.
Right. I was wondering because I've done that myself.
You see, I do. I can't even go.
How good is that?
I can't even go on a radio show without her texting me saying, "Oh, Mark, you sound like an idiot now." See, that's why she's a good
You guys
fellow.
Are a perfect complement to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about your other team member, your other co-host.
Sure.
And because it also, I believe, touches on optimum health, and that is our pets. And you have a partner, and
yes.
His name is Murray. And can you
yes,
talk
he
about
is.
Your child, Murphy? Murray.
Yes, it's funny. A lot of people say call him Murphy. Murray.
I know it's Murray.
Murray is a rescue from Mexico. So he's hoping that he doesn't get sent back if a certain person becomes president.
he's an illegal.
Yeah, he's worried.
Oh my goodness! How did you rescue him off the streets of Mexico? How does that
I,
tell
it's,
us that story?
It's funny. So I had I had my other dog that I got in when I was living in Texarkana, and her name was Maggie, and I had Maggie for about 16 years, and Maggie died in 2013, and I was kind of obviously anybody that's ever lost a pet knows how hard that is, but we were super close, and I took a break. I wasn't one of these guys that said, I got to have a dog. I got to run out the next day and get it. So I had taken a break, and almost a year had gone by, and I started looking around, you know, in some shelters, because I'm big into rescuing if I do that. So, I was looking around. I couldn't find anything, and it was a lot of pit bulls, and I just wasn't going to do that. So I looked online at a rescue, an adopt-a-pet, and his picture was there, and I said, well, he looks interesting and kind of looks kind of tired and bored, just like me. So maybe he would fit in. So I filled out this online application and sent it in. I had no idea where it was going. And I got a call. The next day from a Hispanic lady. Wonderful. It turns out it's a wonderful person. And she said, wow, you're the first person that inquired about him. And I said, oh, cool. I'd be like to meet him. And he said, well, he's in Mexico. I said, well, I'm not going to Mexico to get a dog, but that's okay. That's fine. And she said, no. We'll bring him over. And so she lived about 15 minutes from me, and they went over, and he was staying at a foster care in Tijuana, which is, if people don't know the geography, it's the
right
city
over
right
the
on the border of San Diego.
Yeah,
it's right over the border. And so he was staying at this woman's partner that ran the business at her house, and he was in immaculate condition. She was actually a pet groomer, and so they brought him over, and I said, wow, he looks good. I mean, he's all his shot. And I met him, and I didn't even take him on the spot. I said, all right, let me think about it for a week. But I kind of knew I was going to take him. And I said, well, what's going to happen to him now? I said, well, no one, we're not going to give him away to anybody. Don't worry. And I said, oh, okay. And they're like, we're going to take him back. We're going to take him back over the border. So they took him back to Mexico. And a week later, I said, yeah, I'll take him. And so they brought him back over. They smuggled him back in. And now he just sits on the couch. He's a greyhound kind of. Someone said he's a Carolina dingo, and he's this beautiful mix. But he doesn't do anything. I mean, he's one of these dogs. He just sits on. He just wants to sit next to me all day. I mean, he's not going to be.
That's my Shih Tzu. Does that?
Yeah,
he doesn't, follow you around.
Yeah, doesn't chase a ball, doesn't do, you know, the last
oh,
dog I had, was like a frisbee catching, kind of herding border collie Sheltie, and this one loves to walk, and because you talk about optimum health, we probably walk 3 to 5 miles a day. He loves to walk, but then he just loves to go to bed. He loves to sit and do, I mean, this dog loves to do nothing. I mean, just... I'm looking at him now. He's doing nothing. He's already.
He's so regal looking. I wish people could see him, because I've seen pictures of Murray, and you really should post pictures, because he's a beautiful dog and he's very regal. The picture that I saw of him, he has his paws crossed and he's sitting up,
yeah,
and he just looks like he should have a cigar in his mouth.
I know. I'm telling you. And I sent a picture to Mel, and I think she's going to post it online. And it's just this picture of him passed out on the couch.
My gosh,
and
awesome.
it just kind of sums up who
he is.
But I and that's one of the things that I talk about with people, especially if they have a dog. It's if you want to get in shape, just, you have a dog, the dog wants to walk, so take your dog for a walk at the very least. You're helping them out. So yeah, he's been great though. He's a fun dog, and I think he's happy to be here. And I think the funny thing about getting a dog like that is you never really know what their background was
right.
like. And so, I mean, I really think he was just scooped off the street, eating out of garbage cans.
Oh, my goodness.
And now he eats on the couch. So he hit the lottery.
Yes, he did. He got blessed with you, that's for sure. And pets are also good for you emotionally and mentally. And, you know, some people don't feel alone. They have therapy dogs and they go to hospitals. You could probably do nurse TV with dog TV.
Yeah.
And take Murray to your lunch and learn. You know?
Right. Yeah. I took my last dog. We used to go to a nursing home, and she used to kind of jump on the beds of the people, and she was super gentle. And I have to train him a little more because he's still a little skittish around people that aren't. Mm-hmm. And not bad. He would never bite anybody. But
just shy.
He's just a little. I guess if you're feeding him, you're fine. He'll like that. If you gave people treats to stuff him with, he'd be good. So
that's great.
But yeah, no, I'm a big believer in that too. That they're wonderful. They're wonderful therapy for people in hospitals and that's such a great service.
It is. No, it really is. Well, unfortunately, Mark, it's time to wrap up this week's segment.
Wow.
I know. Doesn't it go fast? You've been a great guest. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know,
you're welcome.
Just like your toolkits, you're inspiring and you're educational. And
you're
just very easygoing and fun to talk with and so helpful.
Oh,
and,
thank you. You too.
Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And if you wish to make a fresh start in maintaining your optimum health, then listen and tune in to Let's Talk Going Gym Free with Mark Prescott and Beth Sims right here at Atlanta Life Radio every Wednesday evening from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or Central Time, or 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to our website, www.atlantaliferadio.com, or call 347-324-5246 to listen, or press the number 1 to join in the conversation. If you would like to find out more information about corporate wellness for your company, health advocacy or lifestyle management, elder care and personal training, or Mark's video production, you can reach him at the Prescott Consulting Group website at www.hchmedia.com or email him at Mark, and that's M-A-R-C, at hchmedia.com or call 858-699-1770. And on social media, you can follow him on Twitter at Healthcare Hero. Up to Me Radio will be back in 2 weeks after the Easter break on Saturday, April the 2nd at 10 a.m. when I will return with part 2 of my Filmmaker's Spotlight series with my special guests Camille and B.J. Arnett. Camille and B.J. will continue their series on the ministries the Lord has planned for them as a couple. So mark your calendars and meet me here at the Gabby G. Cafe. And on behalf of Mel D. and myself and the entire cast of Atlanta Life Radio, this is Gabby G. saying take 5 this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own Up to Me moment. Then come back and share it with us because you know what? It's your life. It's your moment. It's your health. It's up to you.
Up to me to be the very best I can be, and it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Atlanta Life Media, here to share the love through little life experience. Atlanta Life Media,
who job blessed, set no man curse, sing low.
From your sleepless slumber, we can do this no longer. May I up, he said, wake up and live. Your life up full of purpose, so work it 'cause you're worthy.
The scriptures say love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Then why are there so many of our children dying on the streets, then lose themselves to sell their souls? Who said that life more important than I and I?
We can do this no longer. Me have to say, wake up and live. Your life is full of purpose. You must see that you're worth it. Again I say, wake up and live. From your sleepless slumber, we can do this no longer. You may have to say, wake up and live. Your life is full of purpose. So work it 'cause you're worth it.
Yo, listen, black, white, and native man, we all come from Jah-given land. Whether you are African or whether you are Caucasian, no matter if you're from Japan or whether you are Hawaiian, we calling all our sons and daughters back again and again. Kings of kings rise on the throne and set this world on fire. Who Jah bless, let no man curse until my flesh expires. I am a king and she is a queen and he shall reign forever. Christ Almighty, we shall be one in Zion. Blessed Lord.
Wake up and live. Your life is full of purpose. You must see that you're worth it. Again I say, wake up.